Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome, Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast. I'm your host, Tom Lacabara-Stewart on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and we have a special guest, a live update on the case of U.S. v. Astorita, the FBI agent who was charged for lying about firing upon rancher and patriot Lavoie Finicum, and what I believe was the catalyst of what became a state-sponsored assassination via political beliefs. Lavoie I knew personally. I knew him as a non-confrontational, peaceful man who wanted to take a righteous stand for liberty, for freedom, for the rights of every individual American. We have heard how Lavoie, and just to my absolute disgust, how he's referred to as anti-government. Direct quote from Lavoie Finicum, ladies and gentlemen, is, "I believe in the federal government. The federal government has a role to play and within the confines of the Constitution." So there is no doubt that all of their subterfuge, all of their disinformation is being used to smear the character of what I consider to be one of the best men that I ever had the privilege of knowing. And, you know, I think that the massive support has required all of us to take this stand. So we have Jeanette Finicum live right now with an update on the happenings of what have been going on for the past 2 days. Welcome to the show, Jeanette.
Thank you so much for having me back on.
Oh, anytime. We're always blessed to have you here. I know that today has been a rather hard day. We did get a chance to watch the video that you just posted, and for those of you out there that follow my feed, you can go to Rural Oregon Patriots or the Verdict Watch or One Cowboy Stand, and you can get these updates as well in real time. But can you give us, our audience, an update on what happened today?
On what happened today, yes. We've had, let me just grab my notes again. Yeah, there's so many people that are, they say there's going to be over 100 people to testify throughout this case. That's a lot of different FBI agents and officers to keep straight, let me tell you. But we had the pilot first off this morning. His name was Jeff, and he worked for the FBI, and he was one of three pilots in the plane that he was in. He actually was operating the camera. There were two planes that they had dispersed on this mission, and I don't believe either plane knew that they were there. He mentioned that he didn't know the other plane was above them.
So that's wonderful.
He testified. Yeah, they didn't know. They didn't even know about the mission until that morning when they got their order to go to a certain spot and to start filming in that area, and to watch the refuge to see who was coming and going. And they were the ones that were able to let them know that the trucks had left. And then they headed to the site where the roadblock was set up.
Right. But I believe that they knew that they were leaving anyway, but that's a whole nother rabbit hole.
Right. He testified to have been surveilling the Malheur the entire time, that was their mission, was to surveil and to watch what they were doing, what they were doing. They would zero in on different individuals and things that were going on there at Malheur.
I very politely waved to them a few times.
I'm sure. I'm sure everybody knew that they were being watched. But the one thing I found very interesting was, one thing he said was about 3 o'clock in the morning after they had finished this operation, and of course Lavoie was dead by then, they had filmed, he said, a total of 6 hours of video before they were running out of gas and had to return. He said that they were ordered at 3 a.m. to process that video and to get the incident recorded and make copies of it and return it to the authorities that were asking for it. And I'm imagining that is the video that we saw released to the media. Hello?
One of the things that I want to, sorry about that, we had a hiccup. One of the things I wanted to mention early in this is that there was one specific incident that I don't see focused on enough. And as the son of a retired judge, may God rest his soul, things that I learned over the course of time when looking at a state of mind, and I know that this is really hard to talk about, but for the purpose of the fight for freedom, we kind of delved down this even with you. When Lavoie was fatally wounded, one of the officers stepped out. And I will never forget this. It's burned into the my eyeballs. He stepped out and gave him the middle finger as he lay there in the snow. That state of mind shows malice, direct malice. So we have the FBI agent who fired and lied about it. And from what I understand, all of this, the judge had some pretty shocking things to say about the character of your husband, and then turned around, if I'm being given this information correctly, maybe you can set us straight, then turned around and said that basically that wasn't a part of the case. Is that true?
That's absolutely true. Let me set this up for you. It was testified to that Officer One made the comment that we're going to have to, shoot Finnicum. And then Judge, I've got the notes right here, he starts off the jury instructions by kind of making a statement. He's reading his statement, but he's talking about how the militia leader, Lavoie Finnicum, again, they're label lynching him as a militia leader.
Yes.
He wasn't in the militia.
No.
Most of the people at Malheur weren't in a militia. They were just concerned citizens, farmers,
That's
ranchers,
right.
People who were defending property rights and their First Amendment rights. And then he goes on in his narrative, this judge, talking about how Lavoie nearly hit this FBI agent. Well, we're watching the film today, and yes, this FBI agent leaps in front of Lavoie as he's turning. Lavoie is avoiding the roadblock.
Trying to avoid.
So he's already braking and trying to turn, and he has to even jerk his truck even more away from as the officer leaps in front of him. And so, but they're trying to set the narrative for this jury that these officers were just defending their own lives and because they were in, their lives were on the line and that my husband was a real threat. And none of that was true in my mind. That is not true. My husband would not try to hurt any of them. He wouldn't have rammed the roadblock. He tried to avoid that officer who leaped in front of him. And he got out of the truck with no weapon in his hands, with his hands in the air. That, to me, doesn't signify someone who is a threat. If they had been serious...
It not only doesn't signify this, but I had a conversation with Lavoie just a day or two prior to this event. And we were driving on the open roads outside of Malheur. And he had stated, and let me see if I can get close to the quote. He said, if for some reason they try and stop us, I will pull over and let anyone out who wants to get out. We don't want a violent confrontation. And basically what his state of mind, what he was saying was, is that he wanted to pull heat away from people who he considered innocent and women, children, that kind of thing. His state of mind was nonviolence. It was stern, taking a stand, but it was nonviolence. And it was the protection of everyone around him. He was always concerned with the lives of the people that were directly around him. So when he exited the truck, I see that as him trying to draw fire away from especially Shauna and the other young lady that was there. Know this. That's just his character. Nobody's ever called me to testify, which I think is kind of odd. But that's okay. We know his state of mind. But is this case really about his state of mind?
This case isn't even about Lavoie. That's what I just wanted to say.
Right.
The judge finishes his statement before he gives the actual jury instructions. He says, even though he's going over, Lavoie did this, Lavoie did that, he's a militia leader, la, 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 la. He says, now, jurors, this is not the subject of this case. So if it's not the subject of this case, why are you talking about my husband and setting it up to make him out to be the boogeyman?
Prejudice,
you know, and they have continued to do that throughout.
That is both basically prejudicing
and
a jury.
Yes.
Yeah. It's steering the jury. So I think that automatically, right off the bat, the prosecution has already grounds. So here's the question: here, the judge does something like that, and say a mistrial is declared because the judge fell out of line. I wonder how intentional that is, and I'm not making any direct accusations. I know these prosecutors have a job to do, but you know, that seems to me, this judge and that statement, being the son of a judge, I have to look back strategically. It's almost like that was planted there to throw a mistrial in case that there was a guilty verdict. I don't know. Maybe that's me being a little overly paranoid, but this judge should know better.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, I think all of them should know better, because after the judge's jury instructions and opening statement, then it's the opening statement for the government and then the defense team. And again, in the government's opening statement, he talks about how Lavoie picks up speed towards the roadblock and how the officers were in fear for their lives and how they thought the one officer had died, but actuality, he had been buried in the snow from the snow that Lavoie piled on him, I guess, right. In turning like that. You know,
he
they
jumped right out in front of his truck. That was so obvious.
That. Yeah, and then the defense does the same thing. It's, are you kidding me? I mean, why are we talking about Lavoie here? This trial is about Special Agent Astorita, about him not telling the truth.
I would have objected to the judge's statement, and I would have objected because of facts not in evidence and not relevant to the case. I don't know if the lawyer did that, but that's what I would have done.
No, he did not, because you've got the government FBI lawyers defending Astorita, and then you have the government on the government side. So
right, I
think the government is playing games, they're playing in cahoots. So
it's kind of what I was thinking.
See, they have a narrative that they want out there, They want this certain narrative out there.
Yeah. Well, they can only fool those who will be so easily fooled by cognitive dissonance not to be able to withdraw the facts from this case. I've spoken to people who have watched that videotape, and because of their ideological beliefs in opposition to conservatives, they refused to admit that Lavoie tried to swerve out of the way of that officer when he clearly and deliberately tried to jump in front of him. And that, to me, I'm a fireman. I've been, I'm a judge's son. I've been around cops my whole life, and I'm very familiar with these procedures that they do. I'm also familiar with, as growing up, the conversations that some police use, and they plan on things to kind of create a narrative to accomplish an objective because they believe that they're doing the right thing, and oftentimes find themselves going down roads that are misguided to try and prove a case when a predetermined subject has been they come with their narrative and they kind of fit their narrative based on their policy. This to me seems like that thing. It's so
absolutely.
Clear.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's so
it
clear
is,
to anybody who sees it.
Yeah. Today they continued the same narrative by continuing to reiterate that there was a threat of over 100 militia that were supposedly heading their direction. And I'm going, no, they weren't. I don't know where they got that idea, because as people exited the Malheur Refuge, because they were scared for their lives after they heard Lavoie had been murdered, they were all leaving to get home. They weren't leaving to organize a shootout with the police. Nobody was doing that. They were in fear for their lives. And as they were exiting Malheur, they were being arrested. So how could they in good conscience even say that? But they do.
Well, you also had a certain militia group, and this is where it comes into things that go off into rabbit holes like Operation PatCon and and some of the COINTELPRO and stuff like that. I'm not making any allegations, but I found it very strange that a huge militia contingency showed up and got into the face of law enforcement, all for the cameras. And this same group kind of stayed back. They stayed away from the refuge, but they were in the media's eye, and they gave that perception of a militant militia force that was in support of this. But they were never on the refuge. They never had any part on the refuge. And although there were people that may have been members of militias from their home states, that really is not relevant, because the people that I saw at Malheur came out. They were sitting through constitutional classes. They were, you know, sitting around the fire cooking and singing Kumbaya and Amazing Grace. And these were not...
Correct.
if the federal government has to determine these people as terrorists, then they have set their bar far too low.
Well, the federal government will allow other groups to protest and march down the streets, light fires, bomb cars, set off bombs on bridges, and not do one little thing to stop it. And they're just exercising their First Amendment right to free speech. Give them some space. Give them some room to express themselves. There's some of the comments that their leaders have expressed while watching them destroy personal property and harming individuals. Yeah. Yet when peaceful white men, you know, for the most part, and women go to stand for property rights, we're called racist, terrorist, militia, crazy people.
And,
you know,
and even if the group,
and
that's even if the group was white. But, you know, I did a photograph from inside Malheur, because Vanity Fair had done a piece while this was going on, basically saying, you know, if these people looked like Obama, they would have been assaulted by now. Well, one of the guys that I was walking around
most
of the time was an African-American patriot, right? So we did this photo op shoot where he covered his hands and he lowered his head with the cowboy hat. And I took a picture of him like that. And then he looked up and you could clearly see that he was African-American. I said, "Hey, Vanity Fair, does he look enough like Obama? He's with us." It has nothing to do with race. It's insane with the way they go to that. We know who's behind that.
And it's effective because it continues to divide people. It continues to divide us and create that wide division and discord and hate towards one another, because then all of a sudden, people believe the rhetoric coming out of the boob tube, and they really think that this is going on. And so therefore, then the hate, you know, and it's so effective. It's so effective. It is tearing our country apart.
Yes.
It is tearing our country apart. And I pray that someday that more and more Americans will wake up and see that the powers behind all of this and what they're really getting us to do separating us.
Yeah, the effects of cultural Marxism in America.
Right.
I've been talking. I spoke to Chris Ann Hall just yesterday about this, and the absolute indoctrination of our kids, and the necessity for her Liberty First university education for everyone, adults, and especially I advocate for children, because I think that that's our future. But people just don't know who they are. They don't know what was created for their benefit or how to use it properly. All of these things that I think is very critical to the education that we see that she's putting out too.
I'm excited for Chris. She's a great educator. She is a great woman who has devoted her life, her and her husband both, to fighting for liberty and to teach us all what we need to know to help save this, you know, our republic.
Oh, but wait! What horrible white racists who go and are missionaries to Haiti?
Jesus Christ, have mercy!
We'll be right back after a few words from our sponsors with Jeanette Finicum, Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. Welcome back, Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. We are live with Jeanette Finnicum, and I believe on the other line, if we can make that happen, Shauna Cox is standing by, and we're going to have her here shortly, I hope. But Jeanette, is there any other aspects of today's trial that you want to get out to the public?
Well, just that it was very interesting to listen to the video expert that they brought on. He was tasked with the job to sync the two videos together, Shauna Cox's video and the video from the plane. And he did a very good job. It was very interesting to listen to how he was able to do so, how he was able to track each individual agent, color code them so that he could follow that agent throughout the video individually. He did one by one tracking their movements so he would not get them mixed up. And it was very interesting. So he knew where everybody was and where they were positioned at each part of the operation. So he was able to narrow it down to three specific agents in one specific area. So it was a really interesting testimony. And then it followed up with the FBI command officer for that operation, who was also working with officer number one with the Department of Oregon State Police Department. So That testimony was very long and laborious. The two sides went back and forth considerably over pictures and what he could see or what he couldn't see. Could he recognize himself? The defense, of course, wanted to call them just blobs on the video screen. And, of course, the government wanted him to recognize his own position and where he was. And it was very interesting to see the video, how it was, if it depended on which video pictures you were looking at, because some were cleaned up to where you could tell and see more detail in the images, and others were very, very blurry. But as the video expert talked, he was able to clean up the video, to hold the video still, to add more contrast to it, brighten it up. He was able to make it to where you could see a heck of a lot more. And I think the government just wants us to see the fuzzy blobs. They don't want us to see all the refined image that you're able to do with today's technology.
That's pathetic.
Overall,
isn't it?
It was a very interesting day.
Yeah, they don't want you to see that stuff. And Shauna, welcome to the show too. I hear that you're there finally. It's nice to have
I
you
am.
Here with us.
Yeah.
Shauna Cox is with us also, ladies and gentlemen. We understand that Jeanette is a little bit limited for time. If there's not anything else pressing that you want to update us with, I want to let you go because I want to be able to bring you back as many times in the future as I can.
Okay.
So,
well, thank you so much for having me on, and thank you everyone out there listening. Thank you for your support. We love you very much.
Oh, God we bless. Love you too, Jeanette. We're praying for you. God bless you. All right, ladies and
bye-bye.
Gentlemen, we have goodbye. Ladies and gentlemen, we have on the line okay. right now Shauna Cox. Shauna, how are you, dear?
Oh, good. Hi, Tom. Thanks. Thanks. Yes,
yeah.
I didn't get to go into the court because they're playing their crazy games again. They told me yesterday. I guess they were subpoenaing me to come in to testify, and then they didn't subpoena me, so I came anyway because I want to hear what they have to say. I want to face them, and so of course then the prosecution. I knew that they stipulated that it was my video, so then they could talk about it without me being there. Then they said,
right.
And then, of course, the defense team wanted to keep me on the list so that I couldn't attend the court, which was not okay, because how can you have a public trial if you don't let the public in, right?
Right.
And even though we get into all these deep details that they go in trial after trial, please tell me why anybody has a right to kill another man when they're not armed. It wasn't pointing a gun. We lose the fact of the truth and get lost in the details. You know, who gives them the power to just murder people? That's my question.
And
premeditated. So what makes it okay? That really still bothers me.
I've long asked myself for whatever
excuse they wanted to have, you know.
Yeah, I've often asked myself, you know, a very uncomfortable question because I have friends who are cops. I grew up as a judge's son, mm-hmm. so I have people in my family, in my extended family, that were law enforcement. But, you know, one of the questions that I have to ask about this is, when is it justified to be able to defend yourself against a police officer who is trying to kill you? And what I mean by that, for anybody that's seen this video, they all know that your truck was fired upon, and there was no return fire, there was no initiating fire. So all of the gunfire that was drawn to this truck was drawn unprovoked. At what point does someone else attacking you with a firearm constitute the right to defend yourself? Anyway, we'll be right back after a few words with our sponsors. We had Jeanette Finnegan. We have Shauna Cox right now, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back after a few words from our sponsors.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite, A 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Welcome back. Well, let's hope all the telephone lines aren't down tonight in Texas. But, you know, we're on the line right now with Shauna Cox. We just concluded, for those of you who are listening by live podcast, just tuning in, at the conclusion of this episode, you can go back and replay it. We just had Jeanette Finnicum give us an update on today's USV Astorita, the FBI agent who fired upon LaVoy's truck and then lied about it. I think that that is a valid charge. However, my opinion is that is what kicked off what became the assassination of LaVoy Finnicum. When you fire upon people and you fire upon them unprovoked, which means there really was the provocation was, in my opinion, for them to continue to do what they did, was that that agent or officer who jumped out, clearly jumped out in front of LaVoy's truck when he tried to swerve to avoid harming anyone in the roadblock, and he ran into a snow bluff. I mean, it was just so obvious to anybody who has eyes to see. It blows my mind. So anyway, we have Shauna Cox on the line right now, who was in the truck, and I think that she can also attest to the fact that all of the comments from LaVoy Finnicum that led up to this were, although a stern support against corruption and against the overreaching federal government, LaVoie said, and I quote, and I do believe we have this clip, if you could get that ready for me, of LaVoie stating very clearly, I am not anti-government. We need the federal government. We need the federal government to perform, you know, basically, you know, ad-libbing within the confines of the Constitution. So to for
they're
this judge.
They're 19 essential.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Your comments? Please.
I was saying they're 19 essential powers that we gave them. That's what we need them to perform and nothing more. And that's what I'm – see, what I see here is – and I'll probably put this in my book. It's called Shoot First and Ask Questions Later. They had no intention. There were no commands that said for him to get down and put his hand – they keep saying they said that. But you can listen to everything in my tape, and there's nothing there. There are no commands that say that. They already had it planned to take – to shoot. And
right.
So I'm just
well.
I'm
even
just saying,
even if Shauna, even if they did tell him to get down, for those listeners out there who maybe have not seen the footage yet, although I can't imagine that, he was standing in pretty deep snow. A natural survival instinct is not going to allow you to go face down into feet of snow. So giving someone a command is one thing, but giving them an unreasonable... Right, I get that. No. I understand what you're saying. But let me argue. I argue the point, too, with people that say, well, he definitely had a gun. So what if he did, I say? And so what if he did, I say? Because you guys were fired upon first. So let's assume the liberal media wants to go with their narrative. He had a gun, and they ordered him to do so. I can argue very clearly on the side against any common sense individual who has a natural inherent self-protection mode, when you're given an order that you're basically going to smother yourself, that just doesn't seem reasonable anyway. So even if what they're saying is true, which you and I both know isn't, but even if they were true, it wouldn't have been reasonable for him to go face down in the snow, get down on the ground in feet of snow. It just doesn't make any sense. So their argument doesn't hold water, because even their end of the argument, if it were true, to me, maybe this is just me, but it doesn't make sense. But I have a very short clip to play of LaVoie Finicum's own words, because this judge accused him of being anti-government. So, Mike, go ahead and play that clip real quick.
We are not anti-government. We're not anti-federal government. I believe in the federal government. We believe in the federal government. We need the federal government. The federal government has some very specific responsibilities, such as keeping our border secure, defending our nation, keeping commerce regular, and just a few other narrowly defined things. So I'm going to say that again. We are not anti-government. So get that out of the way.
Now, see, that's his own words, so it can't be misconstrued, right?
Perfect. Nope. Can't be misconstrued, because nobody was anti-government.
No.
It's get the government correct, and that's not what happens in society. What happens in the society and how we fall is because we allow people that usurp power and authority and money, and that's what they feast on. And then they get other people, their friends and their neighbors, to buy into it. So let's get a retirement. Yeah. And we're sucking all the money from the people. And now we have all of our friends in office. And now we have all of our family in office. And now we have the power. And then what happens is we get people that are rich, and now we got the poor. And now we got to feed the poor, you know, so we have everybody to share the wealth. So the communities have to reach out and help the people that are poor. And once they... once they run out of funds because they can't keep doing that, now they all become poor.
Yep.
The poor now attack the rich because they want more because they don't have it. Now they got to go and they start stealing it. And after they start stealing it, the ones that are wealthy have to protect themselves. Now we're starting into a civil war where everybody's fighting for survival. That's where our whole nation is turning into. The whole world's becoming this way, and it's all because of those people who can't say, okay, well, yeah, well, I'm just the one that's pulling them over on the road. Oh, wait a minute, but you're extracting money from them that is not a, a legitimate job, right? You're right. Extracting money. You're a tax collector now. Or I'm just the one that's making the bullets. I didn't shoot them. I'm making the bombs. I didn't do, you know, everybody has their part. If you are party to it, then you need to turn around, people. Turn around, because you are it. You are part of the problem, not part of the answer. And that's what is the problem, is nobody thinks they did it. I didn't do anything. Yes, you did. You're part of the problem.
Yeah, but you didn't do anything to fight it. That's what I say to the keyboard warriors out there, even the folks that think that they're... Look, I love social media for sharing the work and media and stuff that we do, but I see social media as being a real problem in that a lot of people take to Facebook when they're upset about something, and they rant, and they vent their frustrations. I call it the pressure relief valve of social engineering.
Yeah.
Because they voice this opinion and they think that they've thus done something. Well, granted, there are individuals that do something, and those people are like Ammon Bundy or Ryan. When they do their videos, they reach thousands of people, and they're covering subjects of, you know, that educate people and give them information that they need. But what they do with that information is really essential. Just sitting by on Facebook or Twitter or whatever else, it's just not getting it. Hell, I couldn't
right.
get it.
Right.
So,
let me tell you, it does help get the word out. If people can become aware, but then other people, okay, or I have to say, I have to give them credit for that, because even though they can't get out and do a lot physically or financially,
well, that's true.
Even sharing the information is important, because then
that
the people who are active get the information, and then they can help to be more active in that and those roles. So I think everybody has
two-edged
a role.
Sword,
I want to bring up one more. Sorry.
Yeah, two-edged sword.
I wanted to bring up one more thing in this trial.
Go ahead.
I have to give kudos to the Deschutes County detective, because had he not smelled the rat, there would be no investigation, there would be no accountability. And even though I'm going to predict this outcome, I'm going to predict that they're going to find themselves not guilty, because they're going to paint it however they can. They're putting this on only for facade, so that they can say, oh, the HRT, the FBI are high, high integrity and mighty and honorable, and that they're going to say that they're trying to get rid of the black eye they've gotten, and they're going to say they've been cleared by a jury which was manipulated in the first place, because nobody was allowed to see them or talk to them, and everything is still behind closed doors and under seal. So my prediction is they will find him not guilty just to try to clear up the name or the reputation of the FBI. And that's,
you know,
what will happen with this.
I would give it 70-30 only because I've seen miracles happen from Malheur to the Nevada trials. You know, I say 70-30 because, you know, it's just we've seen such amazing things happen, but we do know who's in control of this. And we do know that the judge, right from the rip, torpedoed. I mean, just the character assassination of Lavoie, and all of the terminology, anti-government, militia, all of these words that they use to attempt to smear people. All the while, these things are clearly supported by the Constitution. And of course, again, we see the Navarro style. I guess the Constitution doesn't matter, because all of this information now, I know from seeing enough trials, is that calling Lavoie anti-government, first of all, they had a not guilty trial in Oregon. So calling Lavoie anti-government and militia and all these things are entering facts not supported by evidence. That would have been my objection to the judge, to the judge's statements. I really think that the judge should have been immediately objected to and really should be thrown off this case for torpedoing the case from the beginning. That was not the place of this judge to do that. That was bad behavior, as Chris Ann Hall identifies. You know, they're only to be judges while in good behavior.
That's been in every single trial. The judges are the judge, the prosecutor, the judge, and the jury, and the executioner. They do all of it. It comes from the judge manipulates it. And they try to sway it with their whole being. That's exactly their mission. Yeah. To pull it their way. And
I think that we need citizens.
Justice? Where's justice at all?
We need citizens review commissions or committees of safety to with a foreman with the same power as a grand jury foreman that can be presented facts and evidence that can decide to move forward against charges against corrupt government officials. Because having the government police itself and prosecute itself, there leaves too many areas where a crafty attorney working for the government can throw a monkey wrench into the spokes of a case while acting as prosecutor against one of these guys. And that's not saying that they would, but for all the things that we saw in the Nevada trials with the absolute deception, the lies, the willful withholding of exculpatory evidence, the destruction of evidence, we now know their credibility is shot. They have no more credibility, and the reason they have no more credibility is that if they would have acted upon this and done something to correct it, it would have been one thing. But you have the same prosecutor that was trying to go again, and the same prosecutor. I mean, Myrie, really? He shouldn't even have a job. So as far as I'm concerned, they've lost any sense of credibility that they had. And, you know, I think the Pew Research, they just released not that long ago a report on trust in people in the government. This has become the government and belief in government and official narratives has become akin to a religion. These people are like cultists that believe this stuff at this point. What do you think?
I think that's pretty sad, but you're absolutely right. It is. The world has changed from God to animals to trees to that they're worshiping the Baal, the gold.
Yeah.
That's what it is. They've become back to Baalism. And they don't even, I don't know if they even realize it, but people are on the bottom of the totem pole anymore instead of at the top. And that's totally upside down. And so people are expendable, not animals or trees or the earth or anything like that. So it's really sad because we can go back into the time of Moses, and that's exactly what happened to the people in the and they were led to the wilderness, the Israelites.
Yeah, it's so frustrating. History is repeating itself.
Absolutely. I have this activity going on right here, so I have to leave. But I just wanted to get in with you for a minute.
I appreciate you very much.
And all you do.
Oh,
I mean,
we do have a caller.
Please keep beating that drum.
For the caller? You want to hang on just in case she has a question for you real quick?
Sure, you bet.
Okay, Brandy in Washington, you're on. Brady in Washington, you're on.
Hey, so yeah, I don't want to take any thing away from what Sean has said, but I wanted to make a couple points because I think it's really important. Lavoie was a law-abiding citizen. I mean, there's no question about it. So for the media, it's really easy to debunk this BS that the Oregonian, that Oregon Public Broadcasting, that the new, all these different outlets that he was armed with a pistol in his jacket pocket. You know what? Does that make sense? He's not a Oregon. He's not a resident of Oregon. I'm sure he's well. I'm sure he was well aware of what the Oregon concealed carry laws are. And he's on his way to visit a sheriff and concealed carrying in Oregon. That doesn't make any sense, right?
No, it doesn't. It never made sense to me, and I particularly am one, and I think Shauna can attest to this. I believe that it was planted, only because if you're going to lie about when you pull a trigger, there is nothing after that to me that's credible. I don't know, Shauna, your opinion on that.
Well, here's what we've established. We did establish he's a liar. Now, after he began, and there was more than one. So you have to say there was four or five.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, they lied. Not once, two, three times. After you've established that they're a liar, how can you believe anything else that comes out of their mouth after that?
Right. No, and that was exactly my point. Caller, stay on the line for a second, Shauna, and we're going to let you go because I know that you have to go. Thank you so much for joining us, Shauna Cox, an RTR Truth Media contributor. God bless you, and thank you for doing what you guys
do.
And we're still going to keep up the good fight. So God bless you.
Keep up the good fight and keep praying for the truth to come out. We appreciate
you. Yes, ma'am.
All you do, Tom. Thank you. All right.
Good night. Folks, caller, stay on the line. Folks, we'll be right back. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN after a few words from our sponsors.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Mother of the moon, which built my sails.
Welcome back. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. We still have on the line. Before we get to our callers, I just want to say to my friend Joe Kaiser sitting out there, he sent me a message. Man, this makes me want to cry and eat ice cream. But this brother right here, Joe Kaiser, he has supported this network, and he's going to be instrumental in bringing us to live video feeds while we do the broadcast on RBN. So while he's sitting back and feeling a little bit punched in the gut from all of this news, I'd just like to say to him, Joe, the work that you're doing to help us bring the message to the people and stay on that is so crucial. And I thank you and RTR Truth Media TV that will be coming soon. We have Rudy and Aaron Davis, who are hosting every Monday on the State of Political Prisoners. We have Gary Gileno, Grindall 61, who's going to be coming up. We've had Chris Ann Hall and Jeanette Finnicum and Shauna Cox and all of these wonderful people, Laz Encinaro, Kelly Stewart, John Lamb, just great reporting from the field that's crucial to this. And, you know, it's if we stay on this, I think that good things will happen if we just endeavor to persevere and stay the course. So we do have Brady. Are you still with us?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Okay. Would like to make any other comments or observations?
Well, yeah. So, you know, I'm friends with Laz, so he gave me the link to this show. But
yeah. Oh, thank you, Laz.
My family and I, we got involved with, we saw what was going on with the Bundys and their confrontations with the BLM. And it's basically, I think when you look at what happened to the Hammonds, what happened to the Bundys, it's the same. There's the criminals behind the curtain are who we expect. And they're the same people that are actually attacking the president, right? And so when you pull that curtain back, the common denominator that you see is Barrett Gold and Uranium One, and they're basically a mining precious metals investment company based out of British BC, Canada, mm-hmm. right? So it's Frank Giustra and Ian Telfer. They're major donors to the Clinton Foundation. They're tied with Soros Quantum Fund. They were involved in the theft of gold, you know, the gold mining down in Haiti. They're involved with gold mining and uranium mining in South Africa.
That's the real Russian collusion story, or the hundreds of millions of dollars that have gone to the Clinton Foundation, as well as the, I believe it was a $500,000 payment for Bill Clinton because of his wonderful oratory skills and honesty. A bunch of Russian oligarchs put that up who had ties to the Kremlin. So people keep talking about Russian collusion. This is the misdirection, right? I have some issues with Trump's foreign policy. And like Chris Ann Hall, I say principle over party. I'll criticize Trump where Trump deserves criticism. But this is an area where I completely agree that this is a concocted narrative to destroy the credibility of conservatism, not just Trump. I don't think this is about just Trump. To try and attempt to destroy the message of conservatism in America, that is why they're going after Trump so hard as they are, I believe. That's just, if you'd like to stay for a little bit longer, please feel free to do so. We have to go to commercial. Folks, we'll be right back. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN in the second hour.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and good buy. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN.
The Republic Broadcasting Network.